Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville, Willie Donick in Calgary, Alberta, Nick Keiser behind the glass. As we do every Wednesday at noon, it's time to say hello to our pal Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360, and he's presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. Edley's Barbecue, hand off the tailgate, prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today, online at edleysbarbecue.com. And Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Go see my buddy Jeremy over there. Hut, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Not much to talk about today or this week with the playoff, Tennessee, Georgia, Titans, Chiefs, and everything else. What's up?
No, let's move on.
No, not a thing. Not a thing. We will get into all that, but I want to start with something. I don't know if you've even had a chance to read this yet, but I kind of want your, if you haven't, I want your unfiltered opinion on this. But Dan Pompey has written an article for The Athletic on Jeffrey Simmons, and it's a great piece on his career, him to this point. But, of course, you get into the contract stuff. And Simmons is quoted in the article saying that he and the Titans discuss his future this offseason. And he says, quote, "It was, we want you to be here, but we don't know exactly when we'll be able to pay you," he says. "The Titans were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to offer you what you think you're worth. We want to pay you, but we don't know where it's going to come from." That's basically what it was, not an offer. What do you make about that?
So a lot of things. I've seen the quote. I haven't read the entire piece, but Pompey is a throwback journalist, so I appreciate all the work he does. Couple things here. First, Simmons is highly underpaid right now, and he had more leverage to use than what he used. I just don't think he had the agent slash negotiator around him at the time to play it the same way that A.J. Brown did. That's just my initial opinion on it.
Sure.
And I think he played it the professional way, and I believe the way the Titans and Simmons interacted from the first day the Titans media press corps met him, it was a very emotional press conference when they drafted him with everything that had happened with him in high school, and he's coming off the injury where he's hurt leading up to the combine. And they invested in him, and there were plenty of questions at that time about why the Titans chose to draft him. And he said he was not going to let them down. He looked at Miss Amy, as he calls Amy Adams Strunk. Point being, I think that also played a factor in how he went about things this offseason. Again, initial thought on that. He is going to get paid more by doing what he did, either in Nashville or somewhere else. And I mean, it would make business sense, guys, for the Titans to have signed him to an extension this offseason if they could have, because I think they're going to end up paying him $5 to $6, maybe $7 million more annually on average than what they would have if they would have extended him now. So all of that saying, based on that quote, it's either we don't have the cap space to do it right now, or we don't have the money to set aside an escrow, which is what you have to do if you're going to give a bunch of guarantees and bonus structure, because they're trying to liquidate $700+ million to get a stadium deal done. Local ownership, I'm saying.
Yeah.
That all has to play a factor here. Eventually, they're going to be able to pay and pay a lot. This was just the timing aspect of it, and because of that, he's going to benefit even though he's not getting paid right now. He's not Aaron Donald. He is legitimately the next guy. It's he and Nick Bosa. The difference between Simmons and Bosa, Bosa's on a fifth-year contract where he's getting $10 million this year, guaranteed. And Simmons is making a little over two. I mean, he's vastly underpaid for what he's worth to his position, but also, I mean, his value individually for this team is why you believe in the Titans, despite how awful they are in their pass game and how they don't put points on the board.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jonathan Hutt, Downkick 360, is here with us. So the trade deadline has come and gone in the NFL. A record number of 10 trades made yesterday, but the Titans were not a part of any of them. Doesn't really surprise me or any of us here, but what was kind of your thoughts on what took place around the league and why the Titans ultimately decided to stand pat?
You know, I first off, like, I would have made a move for depth, but I also don't know what options are out there for depth. The AFC in general, they were the movers and shakers yesterday. And some teams, you know, traded pieces, others tried to load up, but point being, there's a lot of teams right now that think they're in it because they're 500 or just wavering right up, hovering right above it, because that's the league right now. Everyone's pretty average except for three, maybe four teams. And the Titans won 12 games a year ago. They have a ton of money right now, salary cap wise, that's sitting on injured reserve or started the season on PUP. And I think they're looking at it going, this is our method to the madness. And I think they're overlooking the fact that we've seen this play out before. We have seen how this goes in the postseason. You can win a postseason game running the football well and playing great defense. I don't believe you can win consecutively over week after week doing that. You have to win different ways, and eventually it's going to come down to the Titans' passing offense needing to, on a two-minute drive, put together something to get in field goal range, hypothetically. They don't have the pieces for that. They're not getting faster at receiver. They're certainly not getting deeper at that position. They're already injury-riddled, and I would say they have the worst wide receiving core depth-wise in the NFL. That did not improve. So that I either go there or I'm going depth on the offensive line. But if you notice, Willie, D-Mace, I thought about this whenever we were chatting about the trade deadline. No one parted ways with offensive linemen yesterday. So I think that's a key to, you know, the structure of a lot of teams. And, you know, the Titans don't part ways with draft picks. But, again, like, it's not like they've been drafting all that well. I would rather, based on the window they have with the veteran quarterback, veteran running back, and young pieces on defense, invest in that and see if you can't make a run in a very average NFL platform from top to bottom, from the best team to the worst team. We've seen a lot of parity, more so right now than we have in recent years.
You're right about that. I'm talking with Jonathan Hutton. You can catch him on Twitter at Outkick360. I want to go back to the Jeffrey Simmons thing for just a quick second, because I do believe he's sort of approaching it, at least last offseason, he approached it the right way with saying, hey, listen, y'all know I want to get paid, but I'm not going to make a big deal about it. We can talk about it, you know, in the office where nobody else is around, and we could talk about it then. If we can't get a deal worked out, then okay, I'm fine. But I just want to let y'all know that, hey, listen, I need to be getting paid a little bit more because of what I'm doing justify me being either the highest paid defensive lineman or the second highest behind Aaron Donald. But I think it's going to come to a point, Jonathan, that it's almost like, to me, the Albert Haynesworth situation, where you continue to kick the can down the road and you tender him and you give him a lot of money, but ultimately he wants that big deal, and then somebody else comes in and hit him with a deal that you just can't refuse as a player, and off you go. And you get no compensation as a Titans for it. The Titans shouldn't be in this situation, but I think that's the situation they're going to be in if they don't get a deal done this offseason. I think they're going to try to kick the can down the road, and eventually it's going to be too much money, where another team is going to say, listen, we need Jeffrey Simmons. We are that one defensive lineman away from winning the Super Bowl. And they're going to pay him as much money as they need to pay him to get them on their team. And then the Titans are going to be asked out, basically.
Well, so let me counter it just from because I know how you think here. Mm-hmm. Okay. At least I think I do. The Titans are built structurally different roster wise than the majority of teams.
You're right.
Like offensively, they don't pay wide receivers.
Yeah, you're right about that. No.
Derek's familiar.
Fund. Yeah, I believe me. I've been screaming that for the longest. I'm hutting.
Yeah.
They don't pay why.
They pay offensive and defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, I mean, he is through and through every cliche mission statement, any coach speak that they want to throw out there or put on a billboard or on the, you know, picket fence at training camp. Saying, you know, hustle, intensity, team first. I mean, this guy didn't practice last week, shows up on the tarmac. I call it Project Runway, Titans edition, when they walk out and show off their suits. And they're getting on the plane, and, you know, their social media crew catches Jeffrey Simmons showing up, and he looks at the camera and goes, "You guys didn't think I was showing up today. I'm here." And he played.
And he played really well.
Different, and he embodies everything that Vrabel and Robinson are about. There is no way they can let this dude walk after they just did AJ Brown.
I'm in agreement.
And I would say with AJ though, you know, he played his leverage and he won, and Simmons chose not to because I think of, and it's his own prerogative. I just think he's built different in how he went about things, and he doesn't want to pay the 3%. Annually on the agent thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But he also would have been receiving advice saying, "Hey man, it's time to get yours right now," because it is a big risk. You know, we're looking at Simmons. People are saying that Lamar Jackson is risking a lot. He risked a lot last year because he was getting paid about the same amount that Simmons is right now. And now it's with Simmons and we're looking at going, man, he's a team first guy. It is a risk. And to me, there's no way the Titans, just perception-wise, can speak all this team-first stuff and not represent the pocketbook of Jeffrey Simmons when it comes time.
Well, you're right about that. They're going to have to figure something out, moving forward, because he's the one guy on their team. He's the best player on their team, heads down, and he needs to be paid as such. Now, you did mention, because we were discussing, and I want to ask you this or respond upon this more after the break, about can the Titans win in this fashion, the way that they're playing now. I know many people don't think they can, but
right.
I do believe if some certain things happen throughout the course of a game, each game, then yes, they can win this way.
We'll do that coming up next, but first, Hutton's going to tell us about Edley's Barbecue.
So we've got the holidays coming up. November is here. Happy holidays, guys. Let's make it official.
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, the catering part. So whenever we have the massive Cromwell bash, Edley's Barbecue is going to be perfect for catering all things with 102.5 The Game and 106.3, 94.9 The Fan. They've got us covered. They've got your office or your school or your group covered, your sports group covered with Edley's Barbecue. The best barbecue 4 years in a row through the city of Nashville. And I've vouched for their Nashville style barbecue for far longer, from corporate meetings, box lunches, weddings, rehearsal dinners, holiday gatherings, big or small, your neighborhood Edley's Barbecue location, they've got you. A tribute to all things Southern, authentic to all things Tennessee. Nashville style barbecue is Edley's Barbecue, and you can order and see all of the catering options, tailgating options, and more at edleysbbq.com.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, talking with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. You can hear him weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Also, a part of our post-game show for Titans home games. Hutton is sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. D-Mace?
Now, Jonathan, because I can't call you Jonathan.
his mother named him Jonathan. So.
No, yeah, Mace, it's John. You have
it's
the
John, yeah.
John.
John, it's John,
yeah.
Not Jonathan. We were discussing, and we will continue to discuss, can the Titans win in this fashion, running the football, and playing great defense. I know there are people around the league saying that they can't do it. But I think they can, but they have to get at least two to three explosive plays in the passing game. However they design it, because to me, we never say Josh Allen, who else? Mahomes, whichever quarterback we say is elite at this point in time. We never say, well, this team can't win by just them throwing the football. We'll never say that about them because they've proven they can do that if they need to. Well, why are we saying, or why are we believing that the Titans can't win in this fashion? Because to me, Derrick Henry is an elite running back in this league. He's still an elite running back. And with elite players, you can win in that fashion. But with the Titans, they have to somehow, some way, Downing has to figure out a way. How do I scheme two or three big plays, explosive plays per game to keep the defense honest? Because if I can do that, then we can win. You know, we can get to the AFC Championship game because we've proven it. We can get there by running the football. We just got to find a way to generate at least two to three big plays per game.
So, two things. When you say win, what are you saying? You saying, like, have a great regular season and be the number two seed or something? I think...
No, I'm saying picture. Win. I'm saying, like, as far as getting into the playoffs. Because once the playoffs roll around, we've seen it. If you get big plays in the passing game, one or two, that opens up the game a little bit more, then you can always go back to your bread and butter, which the Titans did. They didn't win that Kansas City game, one, because the defense didn't – I mean, defense just didn't play well during the second half. And then they did not get enough explosive plays, even with A.J. Brown. They didn't get enough explosive plays in the passing game to loosen that defense up a little bit. Everybody knew they were running the ball. We knew it. They knew it. But if you can generate two to three big plays in the playoffs per game – then I think that gives you an opportunity to win them.
Agreed. I just there's nothing to count on that's happening right now in the pass game. And I don't know if they don't have the alpha dog that they've had in years past with A.J. Brown. You know this. You had the same mentality. You're going up. You're finding the football, right? Like, you're going to make the play. It's not as much – and I've said this a lot in the preseason. He's not the top tier wide receiver NFL wise. I'm not putting him on that top shelf. But when it comes to, if it's time to make a big play, to at minimum flip field position, just get field position in your favor for your top defense, he's doing that for you. And a day where Henry's down. The San Francisco game last year comes to mind, the Thursday night game. He went off. He came back from injury and went off. He was the offense. They don't have that guy if Henry's injured or if Henry is a non-factor, which is what defenses will do at some point along the way on your way to a Super Bowl. I've already set aside, I mean, mentally, last year when they lost to Cincinnati, Mace, I've already put them in the playoffs this year. I'm judging this team in January. I'm not saying 5-2 is awesome and you know what, like they're winning now. And I mean, it's great, but this team does not deserve to be judged now. They have had an opportunity to take a next step. And when they chose to trade A.J. Brown, they replaced him with a rookie who is not A.J. Brown. That's not Treylon Burks' fault because he's on the shelf and can possibly come back in a week. But point being, it's not the quantity of catches. It's the quality. It's the moments. And AJ was the big moments. And you pair that with Derrick Henry. Well, then you have 2020 offense with Ryan Tannehill. They're not close to that. Tyreek Hill has like 300 more receiving yards than the entire Titans wide receiving core right now.
Yikes.
It's crazy to me. So I don't look at this as something that's sustainable in January. They can win now and say, man, look what we're doing with all these injuries. They did it last year. They've won the AFC South before. They're atop a really bad division, and that's not their fault. They should be where they are. But I can't say, you know what, this method to their madness is unbelievable because I've bought into it too much over the last couple of years, and I've seen when defensive coordinators stop their one thing offensively, they don't have a plan B. And that was very evident over the last two losses at home to Baltimore and Cincinnati.
One of the wackiest stats is that the Titans are 5-2, and yet in the aggregate score, they've been outscored by 6 points on the season. And yeah. Jacksonville has outscored their opponents by 14 points over the season, and they're 2-6. So,
hey, Will.
It shows you the difference in winning and losing and knowing how to do the little things that get you over the top in this league.
But I'm not saying they're a bad team. They're a good team.
Yeah.
This is not the, like the, if we're going to compare, like tell us the best NFL seasons you've been, this is not one of them. Quality of play wise, top to bottom. So, you know, they're going to get the quality of the NFL in the postseason. Like right now, I haven't looked, I think they're the number two seed, which is they're either going, in my opinion, they're going to get Miami, Cincinnati, or possibly Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, first round of the playoffs. I don't like that matchup.
Me neither.
So in thinking about where these teams are and how teams have invested compared to what the Titans have done, they can win a game or two. I'm just, to me, the goal should be much larger. I remember the fans wanting to set this city on fire based on the performance of the Cincinnati game in January. And oh, all of a sudden, you know, they're 5-2 and well, they're back to doing Titans things. It's a long road. There's still a long way to go. It's now the war of attrition because since Buffalo, Kansas City, if one of these teams loses their quarterback, then they fall down and the Titans rise. But man, comparing them to some of the other teams that we would put up on the top shelf, I can't do that yet.
So let's talk about the next matchup because they are playing.
Yeah.
A team that we feel is elite. They're definitely elite offensively. I'm really curious first about the matchup of the prolific Kansas City offense against the Titans defense, which is really playing well right now, especially as long as they got Simmons in there. They got him a chance. And they looked really good against the Chiefs last year. But it was while the Chiefs were kind of struggling a little bit. Now you got to play them at Arrowhead. But what a great challenge. I just want to see if this defense can do some things against an elite offense.
And Vrabel and Shane Bowen over the course of their tenure here. I mean, again, the defense is why you say they can continue to win this way and set themselves up to be in a great seed and host some playoff games. Wins over teams like Kansas City last year allowed them to potentially host every playoff game on the way to a Super Bowl run. That didn't happen. But they beat Kansas City 27-3. That KC at the time, Willie, you're right, they were 3-4. And since then, since that loss in Nashville, Mahomes and company, they have either held or have been held a lead or have been tied in the fourth quarter in 20 consecutive games. So that was the last time we saw them at a really low point. But there have been low points for Andy Reid against the Titans and Vrabel and the scheme that they'll roll out there. It's a very intriguing matchup because Mahomes has already thrown for over 300 yards three times. They're coming off a bye week. He threw for like 425 yards in his last game, and the Chiefs have scored 40 or more three times on the season. So, I mean, it's tough for the Titans to put up 21. So it comes down to the game plan that they put together yesterday and that they'll start installing today on how they're going to try to cage rush Mahomes and flip the field and get some turnovers. And that's their path. We know it. And it's worked against this team in the regular season.
Yep. And hopefully they can take away the run, make them one-dimensional, and then find a way to make the Chiefs work the ball down the field, not give up the explosive plays. Now, on the other side, I'm looking at the Chiefs' defense. They do give up some stuff. They're not very good at defending the pass at all. But I'm really curious about their run defense. And I look closely. The teams that haven't run it against them are teams that don't run the ball well in general, like the Arizona Cardinals or the, I almost said San Diego Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, you know. But they're, and even the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers only tried to run the ball six times against the Chiefs. That's an odd one. I don't know why that was. But I look at some recent games. 49ers ran it pretty well against them. Josh Jacobs in that Monday night game that was wacky that really could have gone either way. The Raiders ran all over the Chiefs. So I'm encouraged that the Titans can do their thing and try to milk clock, set up time, Derrick Henry coming at you and effective. He's had good games against the Chiefs in general.
Yes, and this is generally where we see him turn a corner season to season post Halloween. In you know, last week he had 12 carries of 8 yards or more, and the three previous games prior to Houston, he had a total of 12 carries for 8 yards or more. So that, I mean, that's the method to the madness. They're going to, what we don't know is the health status of Ryan Tannehill. You know, we're back in that limbo here. And we certainly know the game plan of Malik Willis is the quarterback, but yeah, they have a chance to pull out any trick plays, maybe a stretch, but whatever they've been working on that they haven't shown, this is a great week to do it, because if they can grab an early lead or get a quick score, two for one, where you get a quick score at the end of the half and then potentially open the half with the football, get a special teams touchdown. The Chiefs, you know, when they've lost, they've either face the Bills, or they had an awful special teams outing against the Colts this year and lost at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Gave that game away.
Yes. So, I mean, there are ways to beat them. There are ways to not let Mahomes and company just turn it into, you know, pop a shot. But I do expect Henry to get, you know, his average this time of year. I think he's upwards of 30 carries, if not more, Sunday night. And if he's as dominant as he's been in years past when he's been healthy in November and December, that's a great sign for a Titans offense that can control the clock. And again, at the very minimum, get points on the board or flip field position.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, is here with us. Real quick, the College Football Playoff Committee put Tennessee number one, Georgia number three, so we don't get number one versus number two like we thought we were going to get. But I know you're excited about this game. This, to me, is the biggest game in decades in this state, as two potential national championship contenders will clash. And I know you guys are doing some fun things as well.
Yeah, so we've got a watch party coming up at 6th and Peabody on Saturday. So if you're in the area, you want to check out the game. It's going to be a beautiful day. The Tennessee baseball team is going to be on hand for some NIL things. You can join us at 6th and Peabody on Saturday. But hey, think about it from the college football fan perspective, and the two quarterbacks in the world of Power Five conference football and the landscape filled with money, the five-star prospects, the transfer portal, all that. You've got a six-year senior who's coming off of a national championship win where, I mean, to start the year, he was in the Heisman discussion, but now he's not. And then you have Hendon Hooker, who was the backup for Josh Heupel to start last year and now has been tremendous and doesn't turn the football over. One is 25 years old. The other's 24. Hooker's now the Heisman favorite. And the other guy, Stetson Bennett, he's more than the other guy. Stetson Bennett has a national championship ring. This is pretty cool. And the offenses are very good, and they're very different at putting points on the board. So I can't wait to watch the matchup. And I think Tennessee's got a great shot. And they have a great shot to make the playoff anyway if they lose to Georgia.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't envy the committee at all, but I love the chaos that it has presented to us for sure. Hutt, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
I love the 30 minutes, guys. Thank you. Hey, Willie, are you snowed in? Did I hear that right?
I am absolutely snowed. Well, I don't think you can be snowed in Canada. I mean, they just don't allow it to happen. They have the stuff ready. Like right now, I'm watching the parking garage across from me. The snow, the snow has buried these cars, but they got the little dude in the snow plow. He's plowing the snow and he's getting them going. They just deal with it up
snow
here.
Snow plow dude.
They just go. So, I don't think I'm going to go very many places today, but I'll probably take a little walk in the snow.
Based on the description, school here would be canceled until January.
Absolutely. For a week. It would be a week. I mean, it'd be a week off. You'd just be heading to the golf courses for the sledding.
I really just wanted to ask extra questions so we could make Chase mad because we went past the break.
The suit is steaming right now.
It's all good. Yes. Thanks. Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue every Wednesday at noon here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, we'll see if we check in with Ryan Tannehill a little bit, and we'll get back into the Titans as well here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Ryan Tannehill's at the podium right now. He said it was the ankle, not the illness, that kept him out last week. Let's check in and hear from the Titans quarterback.
You know, win championship. And so, you know, whatever it takes to score more points than the other team each and every week, that's our job.
Yeah, if you take a second and look back at how things have changed since the last time you were at Arrowhead for the AFC Championship game, how do you feel this organization has taken a step forward since then?
Yeah, it's been a few years now. So, you know, a lot's changed since then, especially people-wise. You know, don't have a ton of guys on this team that were on that team. But we've stayed steady. You know, I think the organization is true to what we believe in. And no matter who comes in the building, we stay true to that and get everyone to buy in and keep charging ahead.
And you guys have won two consecutive AFC South Division titles. I know it was a loss, but do you feel like that just getting to that game may have been a launching point for the organization?
I don't know. You know, I think, it was a good thing, but we're talking about 4 years ago now. So, you know, I don't know. We have a lot of things we believe in and people we believe in this building. So, you know, it all starts with Vrabel and the Tony sets from the top and J-Rob and the guys he brings in. And, you know, that message is preached day in and day out, and our guys buy in, and we've seen our formulas effective.
It's been a long time since your rookie game, your first game, obviously, Ryan, but when you were watching the tape in Blake, were there any things that you could relate to, say, oh I see what happened there, or I see what he was maybe doing or thinking or seeing in that regard as a rookie?
Yeah, it's been a long time. My first game wasn't too good. So, you know, just watching him, you know, I could see, you know, his mind going and things he's going through. And it's all learning experiences, just like it is for me out there, you know. So, like I said, proud of him and the way he battled through and found a way to win.
Ryan, what's the process of working your way back in this week?
The process of what?
Working your way back in this week.
Yeah, just getting back into it. You know, slowly working into it with the ankle and you know, see where I'm at. Day by day, just moving around and getting ready to go.
Overall, the pain kind of going away a little bit, or you feel like it's still?
I mean, pain's going to be there. That's just kind of where we're at with it. Unfortunately, with the nature of the injury, it kind of is there. So just going to be a matter of if I can do my job or if I can't.
Is the plan to have you more involved in practice this week than you were last week? Like, have you progressed to that point?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, going to take some reps today, so. We'll start there and move forward if we can.
Is there anything you've done so far on your own, or is it just today's going to be the first day?
As far as what?
Just working with the ankle.
I mean, I'm rehabbing every day, you know, doing everything I can, working through with our training staff here, all the modalities and treatments and now working into exercises and just getting the thing as strong as possibly can.
Is one of the challenges to Chris Jones just how long he is for you?
Yeah, he's a great player. All around, you look at him, he's disruptive. In the run game, disruptive in the pass game, gets to the passer. He's long, he's strong, he's quick, he's great with his hands. So, you know, definitely one of the top players on the D-line in the league.
Thank you.
Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback. The things that happen when we're not on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yep.
Oh, man. We might have to play that one day.
Yeah.
Just replay it one day.
We'll tell you later. You missed something, though. It was
oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Jason and I looked at each other like, what?
Yeah. Okay, he hasn't flat out admitted it, but basically on everything that Ryan Tannehill's described there, it's the high ankle. That's mm-hmm. what it is. I mean, the nature of the injury, using key phrases like that, there's pain's going to be there. And the fact that he admitted that it was the ankle that kept him out of the game last week, not the illness. I think you were spot on with that.
Well, they didn't really give a great angle on the television replay, but you could see enough to deduce that was probably what it was. Now, I'm not a doctor, and there are different levels to this thing, but when you turn it that way and it's a high ankle sprain, it's not a question of pain. That's how I interpret the answer. The pain's going to be there. It's not the issue of pain. You can numb pain, you can deal with pain, but your ankle doesn't work when you have a high ankle sprain. I'm telling you, I've had it. You can't run for a while. It takes a long time to heal. That's the problem. And so I am concerned. I'm not surprised at all that it was the ankle that kept him out and not the illness. And we probably need to save that clip for Jared because mm-hmm. I feel like he was saying it was the sickness. I believe I heard him say that.
Really. I didn't say that.
It wasn't the sickness. It was the ankle, we were saying. But anyway, let's hope that he can play, because let's be honest, I don't think they're winning at Arrowhead with Malik Willis. Maybe they could pull off a miracle. It would take a miracle to pull that off. But I think if it's a high ankle, it's still going to be a big factor on Sunday. I hate to say it, but if that's what it is, that's what we're dealing with here. It's going to take a while for him to get back to full strength. And God forbid, it should become worse, right? That's what you really feel a problem with, right? D-Mace, you don't want it to lead to further injury.
Right? Yeah, and that was my thing with, you know, him playing last week. It's like, what in what world do you think that if a quarterback that's dealing with what we thought and comes, it's just true, that was dealing with a bad ankle injury, what makes you think him not playing the whole, I mean, not practicing the whole week, that he's going to then play? I didn't get Ryan Tannehill. He's never dealt with this, at least since he's been here, and at least to my knowledge, he's dealt with an injury like this. So for, you know, people to say, well, he's going to play. No, you don't know. And the way it's trending is he's not playing. That was last week. Now you get into this week. He's had a week to rest without doing anything but treatments. He may practice today, but you don't know how effective he will be moving forward this week. Will he be effective enough to give you an opportunity to win? Because Vrabel's not looking at it from the standpoint that maybe we all are looking at it, like, man, listen, y'all don't have a chance, and you know what, to win this game. Vrabel don't look at it like that, you know?
True.
And if he did look at it like the fans look at it or other people look at it, he probably would sit Ryan Tannehill out another week just to make sure he's fully healthy. But when you're throwing him back in there after a week and he's still feeling that pain, then you do sort of open yourself up for him injuring it a little bit worse than what it is now.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, plus hear a little bit from Mike Vrabel as well. As Ryan Tannehill said it, he's going to try and give it a go today. See what happens. We'll do that coming up next. But look, time to talk about Superbook Sports, because it's all happening right now. It's my favorite time of year. There's football, there's basketball, there's hockey, there's baseball, and soon enough, the World Cup. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy making some money. So do like I did. Download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Tennessee plus 12.5 in Kansas City on the road, plus 475 on the money line. But the number that really intrigues me is the total at 46.5. Can these offenses put up enough to surpass that? You can do it all on the Superbook Sports app. Just go to superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm not doing the rest of the show until I get my song. I'm just saying.
Well, Chase wants his song, people.
I want my
song.
I'm the damn boss. Come on.
I want my daddy records back.
Where is the respect?
Put some speck on his name, okay? It's sued. Now put some speck on it, all right?
Put some speck on it.
You know how much rejection I face every day.
Yeah, I know that, okay? We've been over this. Like, every day. So, but whatever.
Oh, man.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll talk to Adam Sparks coming up at 1 from Knoxville, as Tennessee is number 1 in the first college football playoff. So we'll get his thoughts on that in the game this weekend. But with the Titans, everything we were talking about with the offense, this is what I'm concerned with. Because I said I think Tannehill's going to play, and I still think Tannehill's going to play.
I'm not even sure. I think we got to take a look at practice here. I'd like to see, and I'm not sure if they'll show it, him moving around. Like when they do the drills, when the media can be there, I'm curious if you see him participating, moving around, just to get a feel for if he's getting some mobility back. I'm not going to say it's a sure thing. Remember, if it is a true high ankle sprain, you can miss a month. Right?
Right.
I mean, Mac Jones missed a month with a high ankle sprain. David Njoku, tight end, is going to miss 2 to 5 weeks. They reported it. So it would not shock me if he still is not able to do anything this week. I'm hoping that I'm wrong.
Is this going to be like a situation that the Patriots had a couple weeks ago where they basically are preparing to have both?
I think you have to prepare both quarterbacks. Now, obviously, if Ryan Tannehill can go today, they're going to try to give him the most important, you know, plays or whatnot. You know, maybe some of the run plays Malik Willis gets, and you know, some of the passing plays, majority of the passing plays Ryan Tannehill gets. But you have to prepare both of the quarterbacks, and I'm sure they do every week. You know, obviously Ryan's the starter and he gets 90% of the snaps, but I'm sure that, you know, Malik Willis gets, you know, 10, 12 snaps here and there, because you always want to have that guy ready just in case. So, you know, preparing a game plan for both of your quarterbacks in this situation, I think, is a must. But you're hoping that as the week go on, that Ryan shows more progress. But an ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain, whatever it may be, if it wasn't a high ankle sprain, it was significant enough to keep him out of the game if it wasn't a high ankle sprain. So you hope that he comes back and can play this week. But if it was a high ankle sprain and he missed last week, the odds of him playing this week and being effective is slim.
Well, and the concern is not just him dropping back to throw, but even turning to hand the ball off. I mean, we saw with the fumble with Malik Willis in the game he actually got hurt in. I mean, I kind of think that was the trouble with some of that. You know, you put it on Willis a little bit, but even just turning to hand the ball off is hard because you're putting that pressure.
Well, yeah, so they're going to have to obviously they're going to evaluate it throughout the week. And, you know, who gives them – and this is sort of a rhetorical question – who gives them the best opportunity to win a football game, obviously, is Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill with one leg, I think, gives them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's sort of a rhetorical question. But do you want to put him in a position where you can potentially lose him for more games moving forward?
Yeah.
You know? And I know Vrabel's not looking at it as, like I said before, it's not looking at it as, oh, we have no shot at winning, because he truly believes, and he should, that they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, you just got to be very careful, because you don't want to lose long-term gain just for, you know, a moment of success in your season. Like, this Sunday is just a moment of success. Well, if you say you win this game, but your quarterback goes down again, what point did you make that you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, come on.
You've got to have him down the stretch long term. I see what you're saying. It's short term and long term. And it is tough for a coach to sort of concede a game or, you know, kind of go there, even in your mind at all. It's just hard to do that. But you do have to think about it. The line is 12.5. Do you think it would be 12.5 if Ryan Tannehill were 100%?
It'd probably be 10.
Do we read into that line a little bit? That it's kind of like, hey, I'm not sure he's playing.
Well, if he never had the injury and they had won 4 in a row,
I'd say 9.5.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Close to 10.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's over a touchdown.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, I mean, they are a better team than Ryan Tannehill on the field, either way.
The line has gone up. Didn't you tell me it started at 11, Chase?
Yeah. No, it's moved.
So I don't know. Like, you always wonder what Vegas is seeing as they set the line. The line changes. I'm very curious to see what the practice report looks like, because I'm wondering if Tannehill still will be in a position to do anything at practice this week.
We're going to find out today. That is for sure. Yep. Will he be able to play? But coming up next, we'll talk to Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel, as the Vols head to Athens to take on Georgia. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk lead companies. 615-567-1000. That's always the phone number to remember for them. And it's a handy thing to remember because you never know when you might have a maintenance need. I'm looking at the snow here in Calgary, and it's not fun when the heating unit goes down and you've got cold weather. So with that in mind, if you have the heating unit issue, you can always call Lee Company. They'll be out there as fast as possible. 615-567-1000. You can even make the online appointment at LeeCompany.com. But also the general maintenance plan, where you have issues at home or at the office, general maintenance is a department. They can also just be a phone call away. They'll come out and fix whatever the problem is. 615-567-1000. Lee Company, they've been around for decades. They've been servicing all of you in our listening area, and they can continue to do a good job for you. They're a huge sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Give them a call, 615-567-1000.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.